Okay, thank you very much. Thanks, and thanks for all for being here. I saw that you were all taking a break. I also saw that last night you went to Starbucks, so you're all well-versed in being caffeinated, I can see. So that's great. Well, I'm here to talk about reinventing productivity and business process. My name is Bob Davis. I work in the office division. I'm actually in the engineering team, so apologies if this isn't maybe the most polished presentation that you would get from a salesperson. I'm actually an engineer. But one of the things I want to talk today about is not only reinventing productivity and business processes, but I thought what we'd do is talk about some of the trends that we're seeing. Then we will talk about what it means to reinvent productivity and business process and how we think about that within Office 365 and how we're designing the product. Then, rather than hear me drone on with a lot of slides and presentations, I thought it would be much better to do demos. And what I'll do is I'll bring up Ben Walters, who works in our group, and we're going to show you some of the things that we're doing in Office 365. And in fact, what you're going to see, almost everything that we show you exists today for our Office 365 customers. And the question that came up there, I think a lot of you were thinking about what version of Office client you are using. But if I could get a show of hands, this is a little informal poll, but a show of hands of how many of you, your companies, are at least trialing Office 365, the service? How about that? Yeah, so it's probably pretty close to half of you out there if I'm not mistaken, and that's pretty consistent with what I've seen with a lot of companies. So we'll do that demo. We're also going to give you a little glimpse of the future. At the end of the demo, we'll talk to you about some of the new things that we're doing. We just acquired a company called Volumetrics that allows us to do organizational level insights using all of the signals that customers are putting into Office 365. So we'll give you a glimpse of what that may look like. And then we'll close with a few customer examples, as well as what to think about if you're considering moving to the cloud. So, you know, what are some of the trends that we're actually seeing out there? You know, the digitization of business is all around us. And if you think about how the world is changing and has been changing over probably the last 5 years or so, it used to be that customers were sort of at the end of a long value chain. They sort of received goods and services from us all. But now they are really our brand ambassadors. They're involved in helping you define what you're going to create. They're giving you constant feedback. All we need to think about is the notion of a pound fail in Twitter with your company mentioned after it as being feedback from customers that can absolutely be devastating for you. And so customers are moving from recipients of goods and services to really brand ambassadors for us all. That's especially true actually with Office 365, for example. I'll try to relate some real examples that we have, but you can go out to something called User Voice, and our customers are telling us every minute of the day what features they'd like to see improved, what new features they would like to see. And rather than come out here and talk to you about a 3-year roadmap like we used to do with our on-premise products, we are actually innovating in the service every month in our service with what customers are asking us for. It used to be that we had very static hierarchies. This is really a product of the Industrial Revolution, the importance of managing your workforce, very tightly controlled, sort of command and control from the top to the bottom. That's no longer the case with dynamic networks. And I'll talk about that in a little bit, give you some real world examples of that. But the ability for networks to be created very quickly on the fly, to be agile, and to be utilized efficiently is absolutely crucial now. It used to be that we had scarce information. We used to always have the expression, information is power or knowledge is power. Now we deal with information abundance and trying to make use of all of that in a very accessible way and deriving insights from it. I've heard statistics in the past that something like 80% of the world's information has been created in the last 2 years, or 30% of the information becomes obsolete in a year. But we are all dealing with information overload, and the challenge of our time is how to make that information insightful to users. We used to have siloed productivity. In fact, Microsoft, we used to always talk about Office makes you personally more productive. You'll hear a lot different story from us both today and the examples that we'll show about the importance of working in groups and teams and collective value creation. And one of the big things we did when we redesigned Office for Office 2016 and the always on demand version of Office is made that great for working with teams and networks. So creating value, collective value creation is also important. It used to be that we had transactional systems, and now we have systems of intelligence. That's kind of like a big highfalutin word to talk about the Internet of Things. For example, I've got my phone here, I've got a watch that's submitting information, and I've got PCs up here that are all submitting information about me. You probably are walking around with hopefully a Microsoft Band, but perhaps a Fitbit. And those are collecting information about you. There's much more of these systems that are out there that inevitably a number of your companies are looking to leverage as well that are out there as well. It's not just transactional systems, but also systems of intelligence and making use of that information. And then last, security used to be something that used to occur in very cold rooms with a lot of blinking lights, and IT only really was concerned about it, but now security is a boardroom agenda. And with the proliferation of devices and mobility, security has really moved out to the individual. And how do we make security everybody's job? But importantly, it's part of the boardroom now. So a lot of changes are underway, and it's important for organizations to get in front of those changes. We're going to talk about some of the things we're doing within Office and Office 365 related to that. So this is most prevalent in the millennial hire. These are the folks that are both in school and entering the workforce now. By 2020, approximately 50% of the workforce will be millennials. Some of your firms probably already feel like over 50% of it is millennials today. These hires are always mobile, always moving. They haven't known a world without smartphones, really. They collaborate early, often, and always. The ability to be mobile and to connect in with one another, to get feedback on what they're doing, to work in groups and teams mobily is something that just comes naturally to them. And the tools that they use in their workforce need to adapt to that as well. They've grown up on social networks. That's the only thing that they know. And so they will always look to their network to collaborate with first, not that strict command and control hierarchy that maybe we're most familiar with. The world is now a giant network. This is in kind of two forms. If you think within your firm, you might have had a very strict sort of command and control hierarchy in the past, these fixed workforces of siloed teams. They were sort of adopted as firms got larger and larger. But today, you work much more in networks of teams and not going slowly up to the top and down to the bottom. The best example that I heard recently was from General McChrystal, who commanded the U.S. forces in Afghanistan. He found that he was competing against a network when he was fighting, his troops were fighting in Afghanistan. He, on the other hand, was working in a command and control type of structure that didn't adopt very efficiently to the battlefield where he is working, and they quickly changed to be much more of a network where people could make decisions much more closer to the action than flowing those decisions up and flowing them down. That's happening in our firms as well. That's not just something that's unique to the military. Also, there's a much more on-demand global talent pool. By some estimates, by 2020, 40% of the world's global workforce will not be employees that work for your firm. They will be freelancers that are out there that you can contract with. In fact, all of our documentation for something like Office 365 is written by a community through a service that we call GitHub. It is constantly monitored by our engineers to be able to improve the quality of that documentation, but we don't do any of the original authoring with that. We get input from this leveraging the on-demand global talent pool for that. And I'm sure your companies are experimenting with that as well. So the world is a giant network. Our tools need to adopt for working in that new world. So how do we think about reinventing productivity and business process at Microsoft? We really think there are three things that are absolutely essential. First, it has to be built for teams and networks. We need to have tools and systems that work for teams and networks. Secondly, we need to take advantage of this massive amount of data, but make it personal and provide organizational level insights. How many of you use Facebook out there? Come on, you can admit it. But if you use Facebook, you're used to a feed in Facebook. That feed is very personal to you. It doesn't look like anybody else's feed that is out there. We need to do the same thing with the information that we have within our firms, and I'll talk about how we're doing that within Office 365. And last, but certainly not least, we can do a great job creating systems that are built for teams and networks. We can do a great job on providing personal and organizational insights. But if we don't do it securely, it really doesn't matter. And so we believe in providing people-centric security. What that means is making people part of the solution of security, not meaning that somebody like those of us who are in IT need to be the cops of security all the time. We need to educate and inform the people that work in our firms of how to be secure. Because if you create barriers for them to getting their work done, they're just going to do it through other means. And so the ability to make them part of the solution is absolutely essential as well. So I'll talk about each one of these in turn, and then we'll show you through the demonstration some of the things that we're doing. So building for teams and networks, how does this instantiate itself within something like Office 365? Well, one of the ways that we do it is through the use of modern meetings and groups. One of the things that we will be releasing in Office 365 in the new year is PSTN conferencing and PBX voice replacement with Skype for Business, and the ability to quickly, with a single click, create a meeting of people all around the globe. Content co-creation, the ability to store documents up in the cloud, collaborate on them, simultaneous co-authoring of those documents. That's something that we've released not just in Office 2016, but also in our web apps and soon in our mobile apps as well. Mobility is another element of building for teams and networks. A couple years ago, had I come and talked to you about Office and Office 365, we would have talked about our rich Office apps. We would have talked to you about web apps, the ability to work on the web, whether it's using our email for the web, something we call Outlook Web Access, or Excel Online, or PowerPoint Online. Those were always considered sort of companion apps to our rich apps. They didn't have the full feature functionality. That's completely changed to where our web apps have all that same functionality. But furthermore, we've gone one step further and built purpose-built apps for the mobile devices, and not just Microsoft's mobile devices. I wish that you were all running Windows phones, but that's not the reality we live in. Some of you are gonna be like me, using an iPhone or an Android device. And if Microsoft software and the software that you're using to ensure your workforce is productive and efficient is going to be relevant, it better be on those devices that your end users are using. And as a consequence, within Office, we build for iOS, for Android, for Macintosh, for the iPad, and of course for Windows. And we always want to be best on Windows phones because we can do some interesting thing on Windows devices, not just phones, but also Surface devices. We can do some very unique things, but we also want to have very rich experiences on all those other device types as well. So we need to build for mobility. And mobility for many companies isn't just a second choice or a companion to what they do. It's the number one choice. Tesco, the largest grocery chain in the UK, I think almost in all of Europe, if I'm not mistaken, their information workers, of course, use Office 365, but so too do all the people in their grocery chain. But they're not going onto a PC or even onto a web kiosk somewhere. They're only using mobile devices for the way that they interact with their corporate headquarters. So it's not just oftentimes a companion device for people. It's really the first choice device. And then lastly, the ability to do project management. We have some capabilities within Office 365 through something that we call Planner for very lightweight project management. Certainly you can get Project Online, which is very heavyweight project management, but the ability to collaborate on projects in a very lightweight manner is something that we provide as well. So those are some of the things we're doing for building for teams and networks. You'll get a better vision for that when we show the demo, but I wanted to give you a brief introduction. So if we move on to personal and organizational insight, I mentioned the graph that is created in Facebook. What Facebook does is it takes posts, it takes people that are in your network, and it takes actions on those posts, where they liked, where they created recently, and provides you a feed. We have a graph within Office 365. If you think of all the elements that you're working on within your firm, take documents, emails, conversations. We create a graph between the people in your organization, the documents that they're working on, and actions on those documents. Were they shared with you? Were they edited recently? Were they liked? Were they viewed in PowerPoint in a meeting that you were in recently? We can create a web of relationships between those, or a graph, as we call it, and we can then personalize a feed of that information and bring information to you in a way that wasn't possible in the past when you had to go and hunt around for all different types of information. We have actually have an application within Office 365 called Delve, which is just a viewer on top of that Office graph, but we use that graph for other things, like to automatically declutter your mailbox based on actions that you specifically take. But it's the way that we can take this massive amount of information that exists within your enterprise and make it very personal and develop personal level insights. I'm not going to talk a lot about business intelligence because you're going to get some great information after this session on Power BI and some of the things that are being done there, but also machine learning. We can do a lot in the service to determine what is applicable for you and what may not be applicable for you. And we'll give you some examples of that as we go through the demonstrations as well. So that's the second element of reinventing productivity and business processes, is delivering on personal and organizational level insights. The final one that I wanted to talk about was people-centric security. And I mentioned, you know, if you take people out of the equation of providing security, they will find ways around. They will use consumer services to store corporate documents on if you make things overly onerous on them. We really believe that you can do both. You can provide great security in your firm, and particularly in our cloud, we think there should be no reason to sacrifice at all on security and compliance by moving to the cloud. In fact, we believe we can provide even better security and compliance in the cloud. Certainly large banks, pharmaceuticals, healthcare, hospitals, government, 15 of 16 U.S. government agencies use our cloud. We feel like we can meet the demands of the most stringent requirements that we have out there. But we need to involve people in this. And one of the advantages of people using Office on the endpoints is that we can use those endpoints to educate them. So for example, with something like data loss prevention in Office 365, if someone inputs, say, a credit card or a social security number, and your data loss prevention policy says that should not be communicated in mail, rather than that mail being sent and them getting a really nasty gram back that just says, hey, this mail was blocked and not allowed to be sent, we can instantly provide a tooltip that pops up that says, hey, your corporate policy says that this is not something that should be sent. If you choose to override this policy, it's going to go to the chief security officer's staff or whatever policy you so deem is important. But you can use the tools to create a virtuous cycle of education with your end users to make them much more secure. Unified compliance is another area that's an area of focus for us. It used to be in your firms that you would have to go to different technologies and set different compliance. So what are you doing on the file shares to make sure that data is protected on file shares? What are you doing on SharePoint if you happen to use that? What are you doing in your email system? We're able to provide compliance solutions in a single view across your entire environment. So if you want to apply data loss prevention policy, it can apply across the entire environment within Office 365 as an example. And then I use some examples of data loss prevention. This all comes together with the modern version of Office, the new Office 2016 apps that shipped September 22nd. They are certainly built for teamwork. There's co-authoring available in Office. You can see simultaneous typing as people are working on documents. We have OneNote and shared notebooks. It's absolutely changed the way that I work. For example, all of my notebooks are stored in the cloud. I have OneNote notebooks for me and my direct reports, so that as we're getting ready for one-on-ones, we're all contributing the notebook about what we want to discuss. But it's really made us operate much more effectively as a team. Skype meetings is another thing where we can instantly create Skype meetings to collaborate with one another. And then Office Anywhere on any device. We have made it work perfectly with Windows 10. I said there's some things that we can do uniquely on Windows 10 and Windows devices that we want to carry through. Things like integration with Cortana. Cortana is our digital assistant that we have built into Windows 10. And with Windows 10 and the new Office, you can do things like say, hey, what were all the documents that Chris Cashman sent me in the last 20 days, and it will simply pull up all those documents for you. So that integration with a digital assistant, or schedule a meeting. I'd like to schedule a meeting for Wednesday with these two individuals. You can use Cortana integrated with Office 2016 and ultimately with Office 365 to do that as well. We have the mobile apps. I mentioned the acquisition that we made for Volumetrics, but one of the other acquisitions that we made almost a year ago now is we acquired a company called Acompli, which is now called Outlook for iOS and Android, and we have the very best email client for Android devices and for iPhones that is the modern version of Outlook on those devices as well. You'll see it as literally the top-ranked app in most of the app stores now is Microsoft's version of the email client that people are using for those devices. And lastly, we want Office 2016 to work for you. There's powerful analytic tools that are there. There's smart lookup capabilities. One of the great features within Office 2016 is if you happen to be working on a document and you go to reopen a document or attach a document, it lists just the most recent documents that you've been using. There's no annoying dialog box that pops up and you have to go figure out, oh, where did I store that document? Was it on my desktop? Was it somewhere in the cloud? All of the most recently used documents are there. It's a real time saver. And then lastly, modern attachments, the ability to attach documents that are stored in the cloud. They look just like a normal attachment, but rather than downloading the full document, you're just working on a shared document that's up in the cloud that both you and others can be authoring on simultaneously. So it's some great features within Office 2016. We've done a lot to make it be able to be used in teams and in networks. We've done a lot to bring people-centric security to it, and we've done a lot to bring personal and organizational insights to it as well. So with that, I want to pause and go into the demos, and I'd like to invite Ben Walters up here, who will lead us through the next set of demos. Ben.
Thanks, Bob. So I'm going to start today. I want to show you a whole bunch of the things that Bob just spoke about. As Bob said, I work on the Office team, and I work with all of these tools, both in their early stages and also now in their release states as well. And what I'm going to do is kind of show you a day in the life of experience and how Office can help make me more productive, help me work better with my teams while also keeping me safe and secure as I go through that. So I'm going to start, first of all, by actually opening up Delve. And so what we see here is my Delve experience right here on my desktop. And as Bob said, Delve is built on the Office Graph. So helping to make take all those insights and things that we do throughout the day and help bring to me content that exists within my organization right here via Delve. Now, a couple of great things about Delve. First of all, I don't have to do anything to get this information. This is literally just taking the way I work and presenting information to me based on the things that I've been doing and the people I've been working with. Second of all is Delve continues to honor all of the security that we have within our environment today. So while I have a whole bunch of documents being suggested to me here as things I might be interested in, it's still maintaining all of the security that sits in the back end of SharePoint and the rest of my organization, so I'm not seeing things I'm not supposed to have access to. And you can see as I scroll through this, I have information from a number of different locations. I've got our product launch site, I've got information from John Case's OneDrive, I've got things in here from the marketing website as well. And the great thing about the Office Graph is it's extensible. So this information can also be coming from other systems like CRM systems, Salesforce, doesn't matter where that data is, you can actually extend upon that and have that information showing up in this one location as well. Now, as we were saying, Office Graph collects a whole bunch of information, and the things we can do with that is to gain insights on how I work as well. And so we have this great new experience that'll be coming out later this year called Delve Analytics. And this is now taking not only the information I work on, but how I work, and giving me insights into the way I spend my day. So you can see here in my Analytics tab, I have this experience here that gives me, you know, summaries as to how do I spend my time in meetings. Am I spending meetings more on internal-based conversations? Am I meeting with customers? How much free time do I have each day as well? So I can really start to get an assessment through the week as to how I'm best spending my time and where to best put my priorities. I can see my time by category and time I'm spending in meeting versus time I'm spending in email versus time I'm spending maybe at my desk actually, you know, producing things and working on things. How I'm connecting with people in my organization as well. I know we've got services and sites out there like LinkedIn and various sites out there that help us connect with other employees and colleagues, but it's really nice to have this information coming directly within my organization on a new level. So people I actually work with, people I converse with and get email with, and how I'm actually working with those people as well. I can see my network velocity, so the number of customers that have been added to my network and how that's changing. I can also start to see people that maybe I should be connecting with that I haven't before. So the great thing around the Office Graph is it can take that data and it can actually then start to use the machine learning to drive insights as to who are people maybe that, you know, you are just missing on that 6 degrees of separation that would be a good idea for you to connect with to help you work better and more efficiently. So some really great insights there coming out of the Office Graph to help me be more productive as I go day to day. Now, one of the things I use the Office Graph for all the time is to go and find documents, because I'm one not to reinvent the wheel. And what I want to do today is actually get to work on a product proposal. And so what I like to do is go into the Office Graph and find things like my product overview and my printing proposal there. And then I generally grab those documents and use those as the basis for my own. So let's move over and show you what it looks like once I have that document. So I'm going to shift into Word here. And this is the new Word 2016 desktop client. Looks and feels like Word, but there's a couple of things I'm going to call your attention to first of all in this application. The first is, up the top here, Word knows who I am. And so with my sign-in details, Word can actually track what I'm doing, what documents I'm on, who I've been working with, or what I've been working on, no matter what platform I'm on. So it means whether I'm on my PC or my mobile device or even on another PC, Word still knows what I've been working on. Makes it much easier for me to transition from device to device. Now, I have my carbon 3D printing proposal at the top here. I'm going to go and open that up and let that load through. And you can see this is coming down from the cloud. And you'll notice as I've opened that, I've got this notification telling me that I've got other people working on this document with me as I'm in the document. And so as I come into my document here and I scroll through, hopefully they'll pop up in a moment, I'll see those people join me in that document and actually do co-authoring. Now, if I want to, there we go, there's Garth come into that document for me right there. So I can see exactly who's in that document and real time see exactly what they're editing as well. So we've had an asynchronous editing experience in Word for a long time now, but with this real-time typing, I can see exactly who's in the document, what they're working on, and really speed up that time to collaboration without having to go back and forth and wait for those changes to come through. And if I want more details as to the specifics on who's in the document, I simply click the share button in the top right-hand corner, and I can get a list of everyone who's in that document with me. So we can see I'm in the document, I have Garth and Katie here with me as well. But it goes a step further. If I decide I want to go and fire up a conversation with Garth, I can very, very easily go and open up his contact card, start an IM conversation in Skype for Business, maybe a phone call or even a video conference right here from within Word without having to switch context in apps. So making it really easy for me to collaborate and work together with people that I, you know, before would have to schedule time with or, you know, have that asynchronous experience. Now, Office is a super feature-rich set of applications, and there are times when we see someone do something magical in Office and we always try and remember how do we do that ourselves or didn't quite catch the way they did it. So with things like Bing and natural language queries, we can actually now ask questions of Office on where functionality is using the new function called Tell Me. So at the top of my Word dialog here, I have a Tell Me dialog, and I can simply ask questions of Word to find functionality. So I can say, how do I create, actually let's type that properly, create a table. And what Word does is goes ahead and returns to me a bunch of results. Now, these results are not help topics. They're not a link off to some animated paper clip that's gonna come and tell me how to do things. This is the actual functionality pulled right from the ribbon. So you can see here, I've asked how do I create a table? Now the function is called add a table. But Word knows what I want. It knows that add a table and create a table are very similar. And so it's actually gone and given me the add table functionality. And so right from those results, I can actually go ahead straight in there and create the table I want right with a click, making it much easier for me to find that functionality and the things I'm working on and the things I want to use in Office just with asking it questions. And this functionality exists across all of the apps. It doesn't matter where I am, whether I'm in Outlook or Excel, I can use that Tell Me functionality to find those more complex functions and things that maybe I didn't know were there before. So it looks like my proposal is continuing to work away there. I'm going to let the team continue to work on that, and I'm going to go and work on some numbers. So I'm going to switch over to Excel here. Now, Excel is still the number one analysis application on the market, and we've had a lot of work put into Excel with a whole bunch of new visualizations. We have 6 in total, things like waterfall charts and sunburst charts and tree maps and those kind of things. But the one I want to show you is a forecast data sheet. And so what I have here is my historical sales data, and what I want to do is forecast out the next 12 months worth of information. So to do that, I'm simply going to click on my data tab and come over to my forecast sheet. And what Excel is doing here is looking at that historical data, finding for me a pattern in the blue line of all of my actual sales, and then using that out to project my next 12 months worth of sales. And what it's giving me is 3 lines here. The middle is my median. I have an upper and lower confidence bound in there as well. So at the click of the button, I hit create, and I have a new forecast data sheet ready to go with my next 12 months worth of forecast, all there, ready to go. No super work on that with the calculator, no spending time looking at cost models or anything along those lines. I've literally just clicked the button and Excel's done the work for me. So making it really simple for me to work on this information quickly and easily. So with my data done and my document underway, it's time for me to go and share this. Now, we had the share dialogue and I could continue to use that. But as we all know, we all send attachments. We are all very ingrained in the way we work, myself included. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and send these documents I've been working on as an attachment. Now, the thing about this is that when we use attachments, we end up duplicating the document, which means when it comes back, we have to collate the different versions and modifications people have made with that. So I have this email here for Julia. I'm actually going to go and attach my document to her. And as I come up to here, and I'll maximize that up, as I come up to here and click the attach button, you'll notice that I get a list, first of all the recent documents I've been working on, no matter where they are. So you can see I have that carbon 3D printing proposal, the financial data I was working on. I've also got files that are sitting on my local machine that I've been working on as well. And I can tell the difference by this, indicated by this little cloud icon. So anything with a cloud icon is sitting in my OneDrive or in my SharePoint. And if I go ahead and attach that to my email, it gets attached. Now it looks and feels like a real attachment, but this is actually a link back to the original document. So I'm no longer sending a copy of the document, I'm sending the original document over. So as Julia comes and works with me on that, she works on one source of the truth just like me. And it means we no longer have this point where I'm waiting for her to send her changes back and having to go and collate them back into a final document, really speeding up the time it takes us to work together. And because she's in the two line, because I have Julia White in the two line, she's granted access just from being in that two line. Now I could also, if I wanted to, restrict those permissions down as well. So if I wanted her just to review that and not make changes, I can actually just give her view rights instead. So really great tools there to help me work in teams and networks and get to that collaboration point much faster than I ever have before. Now, with that, that's just one of the features we've put into Outlook to make working together easier. We've also added a new feature called Groups. And Office 365 groups, when we think about the way we've worked historically, we've gone to bring a group together, and it usually means we either create a distribution list or we create a SharePoint site or a file share somewhere for us to put all our information, and we have all these tools around to try and bring people together to work in a group. However, with Office 365 groups, it's now much easier for me to bring those groups of people together in one location. And so I'm going to scroll down here to my Coho sales team group. And you notice as that loads up, I'm getting some new messages come in. And I have here the group and all the conversations that are happening in my group right here within my email. And you'll notice a couple of differences as well. First of all, the view of this changes from being a top-down to bottom-up approach, very much like a conversation thread. And with that, it makes it really easy for me to come in and do things like messages, and I can go ahead and respond to things as well right there in line and post responses to those messages as well. But that's not all that Groups offers. As I create my group, I also get a central place for things like a calendar for my team, a place for us to put our files, and also a shared OneNote, so that as we're working together in this, you know, group that we've pulled together of people, everything is stored in one spot. So it's no longer about me creating a team site and a Yammer discussion group or a DL to do things. It all happens in Office 365 groups, really making it easy and quick for me to pull those groups together. Now, if I move over to my iPhone here, and we think about groups over here, I can still access all that information when I'm on the go as well. We've done a lot of work to make sure that we can meet you where you're at with your mobile device. So you'll notice I'm using an iPhone here. We have some great experiences on the iPhone to make sure that you can be productive no matter what device you're on. I'm going to open up my Groups app here, and you can see as that loads up, I have that same list of groups I had on my PC before. And if I go into my Coho sales team, you can see there's that message from Garth that I just liked a moment earlier. I can see all those messages that are coming through in that group as well. So it's really easy for me to come into here if I want to reply to things. I can go ahead and see that conversation thread, write comments on that, and respond as I need to as well. I also have direct access right into the files that we're all working on in that one spot as well. So anything that's being shared into that group all happens in this one location, is really easy for me to access from my application here. Now, one of the other things that is always a challenge when we think about coming into a new organization or working with groups and DLs is how do I know what groups I should join? And so I'm happy to say with the Office Graph behind the scenes, I can now also get suggested groups. So I can then open that up and see what groups I should probably be joining that I haven't yet. And at the tap of a button, go ahead and join those. And the beauty is these groups can be public or private. So I can join this group here because it's a public group. And have that added to my list in there as well. So really, really simple features in there to be able to work better together in teams and networks. Now, the last thing I want to show you here is Outlook. And as Bob mentioned, the Outlook for iOS app has actually been heralded as the best mail app on iPhone and Android. In fact, it was quoted as being the best way to access your Gmail. So we're really, really proud of that, and we think we have a great experience here. Now, as we see with mail, we have great features in here to be able to do things like I can swipe from the left or right to mark as read and unread, or flag. Using these swipe gestures, I can go ahead and start to triage through my email quickly and easily just with the flick of a thumb. Now, because a phone is personal, you can also customize these swipe gestures as well, so they really suit the way you work with email. But it's not just about that, it's also about being secure while I work. And you can see here I have this email from Julia. She sent me this email here that's actually giving me a link to a site on a place where I can order some new Microsoft devices. Now me, I'd love to get myself a Surface Book, and I'm a little bit excited, so I'm just going to go ahead and click the link. And what I want you to see here is what actually happens. As I click that link, we've got one of the great new security features of Office 365, Advanced Threat Protection it's called, has come in and intercepted that link for me. Now what's happened here is this email, when it was sent, the link was safe. It was a perfectly safe link. However, the person behind the scenes who sent this link has changed its location after the fact. So it's already past my firewall. Advanced Threat Protection has inspected that link as I've clicked it and protected me from the fact that it's now an unsafe link. And the beauty is it doesn't matter that whether I've done this on my phone or on my PC, the experience is the same. As a user, I have a really obvious message in here letting me know that there's been a problem with the website, and I've been protected from a phishing attack or a potential phishing attack rather than getting to a point where I've been compromised. And the beauty is it's an at-link inspection. So if I decide to take this other link at the bottom to Bing, you'll notice that link is safe and being allowed through. So really advanced capabilities in there to help protect people as they're working through their email. But it's not just that as well. We've also added features in to support rights management as well. So one of the other areas that has always been a challenge on mobile devices is rights protected emails. Emails are being protected inside the organization and being kept from having people leak or forward out where they shouldn't. So this email here from Alex, and you can see at the top there, we've got a little note saying it's got do not forward permissions applied. That's because Alex has applied rights management, telling me he doesn't want me to forward this message on to anyone else. And if I click that permissions link, I can get a full detailed list of the things I can and can't do with this email. So really, really easy for me to know what I can and can't do and what I'm working on. And if I return to the email and you look at the bottom there where the forward button is, you'll notice that's actually grayed out. I can't access that because the app is going to block that because that's the permissions I've been assigned to it. So really, really rich and great features within Outlook and across the Office product suite to make sure that we can work better in teams and networks, be kept secure while we're doing that, all while having a great experience for Office. So with that, I'd like to hand back to Bob.
Thanks, man. All right, well, hopefully you get a sense of some of the things that we're doing within Office 365 through that. Everything that you just saw is available to all of our Office 365 customers today, with the exception of the analytics piece where he was showing where he was spending time in meetings at the very outset. Everything else is available to all of our Office 365 customers today. So this isn't some future presentation. These are all things that customers are actually using today. And I'll tell you that Groups app has absolutely changed the way that we work within Microsoft. If you think about things like distribution lists, I don't know what it's like for your company, but at Microsoft, there are 6 distribution lists for every 1 person at Microsoft. It means we have over 700,000 distribution lists. Knowing which one to join is almost impossible. And then if you send information to a distribution list, what happens to it? It gets pushed and locked in a bunch of inboxes that nobody really has access to. If somebody joins that group later, they have no access to the previous conversation history. Whereas the modern groups that we have here, you add somebody new, they can go out to that site, they can look at some of the previous messages. The other thing I'd mention is, while he was replying in line to those, if your way of working is to reply in email, all of those responses show up in your inbox as well, not just in the actual group. So you can get visibility to them just like an email. So if that's your mode of working, you can see them that way. I love OneNote because we take notes within our meetings. If you happen to miss a meeting, you can just go out to the group, look at the OneNote, see the notes that you missed. It's all searchable. It shows up in your Delve app in the Office graph, so you can see things that way as well. It's just absolutely started to change the way that we work here in Microsoft and make us more productive. And it's doing the same thing for our customers, and we're seeing the adoption rate increase quite a bit. So in the last remaining minutes that I have here, our cloud customers have more than doubled year over year. The growth of Office 365 is just massive. We have about 80% of the Fortune 500 are using one or more services of Office 365. We commissioned a publicly available Forrester study that's available in terms of the return on investment and internal rate of return that our customers are getting from moving to Office 365. Obviously, all of the customers that you see on this list are referenceable, so you shouldn't just take our word for it. If you want to talk to our customers, work with your account reps, and we can try to get you in contact with some of our existing customers for those of you that are interested in learning more about Office 365. I'm going to skip rapidly through these because we're running short on time, but we have a whole host of customer references that are available to any of you if you would like to see what customers have done with Office 365. But our service is always evolving, and in fact, our servers are always evolving too. We're very committed to our on-premise servers. There's a very important use for our on-premise servers, but they will always lag our service. So for example, we're just in the process of releasing Exchange 2016 in the new year. We'll release a version of SharePoint, SharePoint 2016. Those versions of our server products, we actually take the code that we've been working on in the cloud, we freeze it, takes about a year of testing to make sure that that code works against all of the possible permutations of what customers are running on-premise. So it lags the cloud by approximately a year, because meanwhile, we're still adding capabilities into our cloud service. And then I wish that all of our customers would upgrade to our server products when they're released, but that doesn't happen. In fact, they wait usually for a service pack because all customers need to upgrade their on-premise infrastructure. You have to go through budget cycles and put project teams together, replace hardware. We know for a fact that about 30% of our Exchange customers, for example, will upgrade to Exchange 2016 within the 3 years after its release, so by 2019. That's not very great to get the latest capabilities in the hands of our customers. So that's one of the reasons why the cloud has been so beneficial for our customers. They're getting newer and newer capabilities each and every month. And speaking of that, our cloud updates are made on a regular rolling basis. We make monthly updates to Office 365 servers and clients. We've actually released about 300 new features into Office 365 within the last 12 months. Some of those are very significant end user features, moving from say 5 gigabytes of storage in email to 50 gigs of storage within email. There are things like the Outlook client for iOS and Android, for example. But there are also features that are very important to IT that end users would never see. And by working with the largest enterprises in the world, we've developed some of the controls around which you can control when end users see those updates. We know we can't just throw things on end users at any random interval that we choose. You have to have the control to be able to have those show up at a time that's convenient for you. And so we've created some processes around how we do change management associated with those rolling updates. And then the last thing I'll point out here is We accelerate adoption via the Success Center. We have a location where you can go to get all kinds of collateral that you could rebrand as your own to help drive usage and adoption within your firm. With tens of thousands of customers and tens of millions of users on Office 365, it would be crazy for our customers to have to reinvent the type of material to help drive adoption within their firms, firm by firm by firm. We try to create as much of that as possible for you based upon successes that we've had with customers. So I mentioned it's always evolving. We'll be releasing the org analytics that I mentioned, Cloud PBX and PSTN calling in the new year. Things like customer lockbox, the ability for you to approve anytime a Microsoft engineer would ever need access to your customer data. We can require your permission for that. That's something that we announced at the RSA conference last year. But a lot of new features are coming. And just to wrap up, for customers that are considering moving to our cloud, there's really four success factors that I've seen. One is choose the right workloads at the right time. Well, we'd love for customers to take our entire suite and move to the cloud. I was talking to a customer earlier this morning. That's not a practical reality for them. And so looking at things like, do you want to move to email and move that, or cloud storage with something like OneDrive, or Skype Meetings, or Office Pro Plus. There are choices that you can make that will be the right choices for you. So understand what workloads work for you, decide to move to those workloads, and we can help consult on what would be best. Once you do decide and are intentional about which workloads that you want to move to, move rapidly. There's nothing like a long IT-driven project that takes forever to roll out that isn't a recipe for success. We know a lot about deploying customers to the cloud. In fact, any customer over 150 seats, we work directly with you out of our engineering group to get you there. So we've worked with companies from 150 seats up to 500,000 seats and move them to our cloud. We can help you with how to do that in a rapid manner. Understanding your usage patterns, you know, how do people use things like storage, and what do you want to accomplish by storage in the cloud? And lastly, deliver against strategic drivers. If your driver is just to replace your email system with a cloud-based email system, we can certainly do that. But I would look at things like, do we want to modernize the way that we do meetings at our firm? Do we want to increase mobility at our firm? Have a vision for what you want to accomplish. And then with the data that we showed you out of the service, you can actually measure the outcomes that you're trying to achieve. And we'd be happy to help you with that. So with that, that brings me to the end of the presentation today. I'm going to be out in the lobby for a little while. So if anybody would like to ask me any follow-on questions, I'd be happy to take them. And I want to thank you for your time and attention and wish you the very best with the rest of the conference. So thank you very much.